a resource for Latino residents. The creation of El Puente Community Center, today in the Upper Cumberland. Monterey, Morrison, McMinnville, Smithville, Cookville, Upper Cumberland communities with double-digit Hispanic population counts. And the numbers are growing. That makes the work of the El Puente Community Center even more important. Its founders are Jill and Chad Minot. Jill, how did this vision start for the two of you?
Well, Chad and I'm originally from Cookville, and Chad's from Chattanooga. We had met in the Dominican Republic doing some mission work down there. And through doing that, we had learned Spanish. And then when we relocated back to Tennessee, we were here in my hometown of Cookville and just realizing that there were a lot of Spanish speakers in the area and just sort of had a desire to use that gift that we had of being able to communicate. We reached out to a local elementary school, Jerry Whitson, because we knew they had a lot of Spanish-speaking students and asked if they needed any translators, and they did. They jumped all over that opportunity, and so we signed up to be on their translator list, and then through that, got connected with a program called Community ESL, which is English as a Second Language. They were beginning classes out of the school on Tuesday evenings for anybody to come and learn English, but it ended up being a lot of Spanish speakers that were showing up to learn. And so Chad and I started helping with those classes. And as we were teaching English and getting to know so many people, we were realizing there were just a lot more needs than just English. And they weren't necessarily even physical needs all the time. It was a lot of just wanting to make some friends, get connected to a church, figure out what I need to do with my kid at school. And so through that, we kind of decided, what's the best way we can meet as many needs as possible? And the idea of a community center was born.
So Chad, how would you describe kind of the vision for the community center?
The community center is, the purpose of the community center is to bridge resources to the Hispanic community. So the community center is called El Puente in English. El Puente is a bridge. And so that is the whole intent, is to bridge resources and helping people get the resources that they need to live in full and active life as they acclimate to living in the U.S. and in this community. And what we have found is there are a ton of resources that are available to this community, but there is a gap. And the gap is a lot of times they don't know what those resources are, or they don't know that those resources are available to them. And so the vision is that we become a hub of resources, or a hub where the Hispanic community can come to be able to get connected to the resources that are available to them.
Do you think most anyone of any persuasion, do we realize the resources that are available?
No, I don't think that we do. I mean, We've been shocked as we've, of course, investigated. We're looking for different things just to see what all is available in this community and the different organizations that exist, the different things that churches and individuals provide. And I always thought Cookville was a very generous community and area, and it's just been reaffirmed over and over as we've started to investigate more for ourselves some of those resources.
And that's speaking even for what's available to us. I mean, we've lived in the United States for the majority. We've lived overseas for a while, but we grew up here and we know that, and we know how to navigate a lot of those situations, are like where you would go to even investigate if a resource is available or if you have a need. And so for a lot of this community, they don't even know where to begin to look for some of those resources.
Do we have a sense? I mean, I think most of us feel like, and I know this was brought up a lot during the census period a couple of years ago, that the Hispanic and Latino population is growing here. But do we have a sense of how much? What are you seeing?
Just anecdotally and like from our experience, it does seem that, yes, it is growing. The best, I guess, information we've been able to receive has primarily been through the school system. They seem to have the clearest numbers on how many Hispanic students are enrolled in this Putnam County school system here. This has been a couple of years ago, but it was around 10 to 12%. And to me, and that's just a reflection of students. So like if a student were born here in the United States, that wouldn't necessarily match what their parents are. And so I would say the number is even greater than that within the county. But no, it is hard to get an exact number and a feel on that. And even like with stuff with the census, a lot of times people don't fill it out. And so they're not really represented accurately on those kinds of things.
And I would say anecdotally, too, just like even from our experience over the last year, the amount of people who have come by El Puente and who have gotten involved in some of our programs, I would say maybe even half of them or have been in the States, you know, a year or less. And so, again, kind of anecdotally, yeah, it does seem like there are more and more people.
And we're just talking about here. Putnam County.
I mean, right.
We're talking about our surrounding area.
We've heard we're not super connected to other resources in other counties, but we've had a few different things that have kind of connected us to different things. And it seems to be that's common in other counties as well.
Yeah. Chad and Jill Minot, the El Puente Community Center, it means bridge. And they are helping bridge the connection to those Hispanic and Latinos who are moving into our community. We continue. We're introducing you to the work being done for the El Puente Community Center with Jill and Chad Minot. So we talk about diversity in a community, and for a lot of people, they think, okay, diversity means do you have African-American people? But when you look at Latinos, when you look at Hispanics, you're talking about a whole different area of diversity, because an African-American person can speak the language. An African-American person knows American culture, though their part of the culture might be different. How challenging is that?
It's very challenging. Not only for a lot of people here, but even within our area, the Hispanic population is even divided among the different countries that they come from, which do not all share the same kind of culture. So
the first thing is you can't generalize.
You can't. I mean, somebody from Guatemala is not the same culturally as somebody from Mexico or Venezuela or any other country where they speak Spanish. And so there's a lot of diversity even among that. They are united, obviously, by the fact that they do speak Spanish. But it is very challenging to be in a new place and not know the language. I think that's one of the biggest barriers that particular group of people face, is there's nothing familiar culturally here. And then on top of it, it's very challenging to communicate. And it, I think, isolates a lot of people just the second that they get here, because they don't have those connections. They're not able to use language to connect with other people, which makes it super challenging to get integrated into anything that's going on in the area.
You agree?
Very much so. I mean, language is a huge barrier. And I think a lot of us who have, I mean, I guess we all going through, you know, the school system, at some point you have to learn some kind of language. But when you have to live in the middle of it, we recently have started doing some Spanish classes for some English speakers, just trying to bridge the gap the other way as well. And one of the comments is, we left one of those Spanish classes one day because one of our community members that speaks Spanish is helping to teach the class. And one of the English speakers walked away like, wow, that must be how she feels all the time. And that's true. I mean, like, that's like living. Going to a, you know, 45 to 50 minute Spanish class, and that's frustrating. But when you live that all the time, it is. Yeah, that's a huge barrier.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you your high school French class or your high school Spanish class or high school Latin class, you know, I mean, but it's over and you're on to algebra and the next thing. This, you are learning because you have to communicate with a language you don't know.
And everything can lead to just frustration. Going to the grocery store, trying to order something at a restaurant, trying to communicate with your child's teacher. Like, there's nothing that comes easily about communication, and it can be extremely frustrating and
exhausting.
Yeah.
I'm just like walking away, just wanting to speak your own language for a little bit and go home and haul up. And so, but when you're also trying to deal with a lot of it, just acclimating to a new culture, which means if you're, you know, trying to, you know, open a bank account, and like everything is a challenge. And because everything is a challenge because of language, not only because of language, but just our systems are different. Not that they're wrong or one is better than the other, but they're just different. So you have to learn how to do things like how do you, you know, manage your finances and credit.
How do you get your electricity turned on?
All of those.
How do you
things.
Rent an apartment?
Yeah. Yes. And so learning how to communicate and work all of the systems that we have in place are, it's a tall order.
An unfair question, probably. and you can choose to answer as you wish. But we live in a society that is deeply divided on the issue of immigration. And I would imagine that those who are Hispanic and Latino probably feel separated out by that part of our political issue. Do you hear that? Do you hear negative experiences? Do you hear that, you know, you're not wanted here and those types of things or not?
I guess, fortunately speaking, specifically from our community members at El Puente, they seem to perceive this area as very welcoming, kind, helpful. I will say, on the other side of things, people within the community, we have heard some negative feedback for sure. I guess our mindset is these people are our neighbors. I mean, anybody who's living in this area, they are our neighbors, and we want to love them and treat them with respect and make sure they feel welcome and that they can function here and thrive here. And so that's kind of our heart and mission behind doing that. And we would hope we would do that for any person that was new to this area. We just happen to have a unique interest in this group because of our language skills and some of our experience living overseas, but really just anybody, we would want them to feel welcomed here and a part of this community. And it is a really great place. And I do think overall, our community members have experienced that. And that's their overarching feel of this area, which I'm super thankful for.
Yeah. And one of our goals right from the beginning within this was to develop a base of trust within, because we do know that there that has to be in place for us to be able to really help them get the resources they need. On the issue of immigrant, I mean, it's so complicated.
Sure.
And I mean, we're not going to stand here and tell you we have any idea of what is the best way to deal with all that. But yeah, I think Jill said it perfect. They're here and they're our neighbors and we want them to feel welcome and at home and have access to the resources that they can. And we have felt that not only from the Cookeville community, but a lot of the agencies and resources that are available to them, they continue to reiterate to us that they want to build the trust with this community too.
You just you fear, I think, that someone could be in this country completely legally and followed all the rules and that sort of thing, but because of our political rhetoric, that you just get all lumped together.
Yeah. And that certainly happens.
And that's the concern. He's Chad. She's Jill. The Minot family, they are the founders of the El Puente Community Center as we continue. Let's talk culture as we continue our conversation with Jill and Chad Minot. They are founders of the El Puente Community Center. We'll tell you how you can find out more about the work that they do. How much of this is culture? How much of this is helping them understand our culture, number one, but then number two, understanding the parts of their particular culture that are important to them. For example, one of the things, and again, I don't know if this is a stereotype or not, but you hear that family is so much more a part of life in many South American countries than maybe even it is here in the United States.
I think culture is huge. I mean, and part of this is helping them understand the culture in which they live now. And because they want to adapt, they want to work within it, but they need some help to understand how to navigate those things. So even just things like time, you know, we lived in the Dominican Republic for a long time and time was very relaxed. You know, we were
get there when you can get there.
Get there when you get there. And yeah, and we want to play into that with them as much as we can because it is more relaxed and that's great. I mean, I think there's a lot of benefits to that. but they also, you know,
that's not the way we work.
That's not the way that we work. And so, and they want to adapt. And so, yes, we want them to, because, and from our experience, they are not trying to change our culture. They want to adapt and they want to learn how to navigate the world and they live in now. And so, yes, a lot of it is helping them learn about the culture in which they live and how they can best navigate that. At the same time, we want to be culturally sensitive, because you don't just flip a switch on culture, and where they came from is important to them. Yes, family is important. We formed a leadership council for El Puente, trying to hear voices directly from the community about their needs. And we were talking about summer and yesterday, and the resounding thing that came up was just like, we want things that our family can do together, like fun activities that we can do together that are cost friendly, and that bring us together and have, give us something to be able to do. So we want to learn more about their culture and reflect their culture and what we're trying to do. And also be sensitive to who they are and where they've come from, because who they are and where they come from is beautiful. Jill said earlier, like, all of their cultures are different. And there's some really amazing things, honestly, that we can learn from their culture that we could do better.
We have learned for sure. I mean, even living in the Dominican, but now getting to know all of these people here from different countries, like, you know, time is a great example. We're so tied to our schedules and the things that we do and, you know, be here at a certain time or whatever. But there is some beauty in having some flexibility within that and being relaxed. And that's not to say one's better than the other, but I think just being open to the fact that, oh, somebody might do this different than me and it might be okay.
I met someone from a South American country and they were amazed that, you know, we don't live with our grandparents.
Yeah.
That we don't. Mm-hmm. You don't have households of that same way. And do you not love your grandparents? No,
right.
I mean, but you think of just basic things like that are just different.
Yeah.
Not that one's right and one's wrong. It's just
that's different. A challenging aspect too for people coming here, because a lot of times they are leaving situations where maybe they were, you know, their whole extended family was living together. They were living with grandparents. They were living with aunts and uncles and cousins, or everybody was very nearby. And then maybe just a small segment of that family has moved to the United States. And so they've really left behind so many people that they were very close to in their home country. And that's a loss. I mean, they feel that. And especially if it's, you know, hard to get back, expensive to get back and things like that, that's a real challenge a lot of those people are facing, of just knowing, man, a big chunk of my family is back where I'm from and I can't be there for some of those important things and, you know, life events that happen. So. Mm.
Our conversation continues with Chad and Jill Minded as we talk about the El Puente Community Center. When you talk about resources and bridging the gap, as they do at the El Puente Community Center, Jill, what? Give us some examples, some things that people might not think of that you try to make sure are available.
So a few things that we've tried to do is through reaching out to just local agencies, organizations, different things that we feel like provide kind of a common service that almost anybody could benefit from. So a few examples that we've done, back last spring, we did a 4-week session with the health department, basically communicating what the health department provides, who can go receive services at the health department, do you have to have insurance to go to the health department, all of those kinds of things. And then we did some specific targeted sessions on things that we had heard were questions people had within the community, such as, what do I do in a severe weather emergency? That was a question we were getting all the time. You know, we're getting these tornado warnings, we're getting tornado watches, severe weather. What does this mean? What do I do? Where do I go? Because those aren't common things people experience in the countries that they're coming from. So we did a whole session on severe weather. We did a session on nutrition and just some ways to eat healthy and also cost effectively here in the United States. That was all with the health department, and just also kind of bridging that gap to know, here's some faces of people at the health department. I can call there when I have this issue. I'm comfortable going over there. I know there's going to be a translator available, things like that. We did a similar session with the Putnam County Library. We had the director of the library, Catherine Weisinger, come over to El Puente, and she talked all about the library is just not for books. There's tons of other things you can do at the library, internet access and different resources that are available there. And that was eye-opening to a lot of people because everything's free at the library. And now they know that they can go do some of those different things there besides just checking out books. We recently did a session with the police department here in Cookeville. Again, just trying to build that trust, letting people know what is the police department here for, that they want to protect everybody in our community. And we had a great question and answer session. They had a ton of questions. You know, what if I need to call the police, but it's not necessarily an emergency? Just a lot of stuff that is not super familiar to them from being from the countries that they are. But we were able to let them know about some of that, build a lot of trust and relationships there with the police department.
But just to interrupt you for a second, yeah, because that's a great example of something that culturally can be different. In a lot of the nations of Central and South America, the police are not to be trusted.
Right, right, right. And we want people to know, you know, the police are here to protect everybody in our community. And the police department was awesome to work with. I mean, they went above and beyond. They brought the dogs. They brought the drones. They had activities for all the kids. And they were able to answer a lot of questions. They had a translator available. And it was just super helpful, I think, for our community to see, like, these are nice people and they want everybody in Cookeville in this area to feel safe, me included. And so that was a neat thing. So we've just tried to do a lot of things with organizations like that, bridging the gap. We've tried to share just a lot of public things that are going on, you know, events that are happening at the park or free things you can do with your kids during the summer. We've tried to connect people to a lot of churches. There's some Spanish speaking churches in our area and we've tried to get people plugged in at those. If people are interested in English-speaking churches, we've tried to make some connections there. And then just in general, just trying to kind of build community and letting people know that they have friends here, they have people that they can count on and call on. And so that's kind of how we've tried to do some of that.
Chad, in that same vein, have you approached organizations, have you approached agencies, and it has opened their eyes that, hey, maybe we need someone on our staff that speaks Spanish or we need our forms in Spanish, for example.
Yes, for sure. There have been some people that we've approached about that. And we've had some people contact us because the pregnancy center is one that's contacted us. It's like, hey, they have a lot of people and they have some translators that they can call in. But they have contacted us about translating certain forms and not just them, but the school system and other things. Like, yeah, the police department, even after that, has asked us to translate something for them because they want the information to be able to get out in language that's accessible to them. So, yeah, I think it has been eye-opening for some to make sure that they're doing the best they can. And from what we can tell, I mean, people are trying. People are trying. It is hard.
Well, people may not just realize the numbers of people that we're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we're not talking about five or six or seven people.
No,
it's a huge group of people.
You know, we're talking hundreds
yes.
of people that need this. Jill and Chad Minot are our guests. So Chad and Jill Minot, they are the founders of the El Puente Community Center. First of all, what do you need? What help do you need?
You want me to go?
Yeah, go.
She's dropping this one in your life.
Dropped it right in there.
Yeah. Okay. I'll answer. Well, we need, we want to create awareness because we do want the Hispanic community to know that we're there for them. We also are really trying to find a way to fund a case management position. And that would include somebody that can be at our community center consistently, that would be able to receive people and help take case by case, because every case is different. But there also are going to be a lot of similarities among things. And so we would love to have somebody that could be the front face of and receive people and understand what their case is and help connect them to those specific resources.
Jill, what's the word you want to share with those who are of Latino, Hispanic backgrounds, who are here in our community, of what they can come to you and get help with?
Yeah, we would just want them to know that they can come to El Puente, make a connection with somebody in this area who speaks your language, hopefully make some friends, ask questions if there's things that you're not sure about or needing to know where to go to do certain things. We do a weekly event every Wednesday from 4:30 to 6 at the community center called Cafecito. It's just a time to basically come and hang out and have coffee and snacks and get to know some people. And that's proven to be a really great entry point for a lot of people to get involved with different things. We have people that come weekly. We have people that come once and get their questions answered, and then we don't see them for a while. But it's a great way to just sort of get involved and start to get to know people. And we would just want everybody to know that they're welcome and loved, and we're glad that they're here.
What's the best way to get in touch if you got questions or want to help in either way?
Yeah, we have a website. It's elpuentecookville.org. And all of our contact information is on there. The actual community center is located on the corner of
Jefferson
and 9th. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. We're right across from My Father's Mustache and College Side Church. It's a house on the corner, and that's where the community center is located. That's where we do most of our events out of. People would be welcome to stop by and check it out and see what's going on at different times. That's usually where we do any classes we have or any gatherings. That's where we are. But all of our other contact information is on the website. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, El Puente Cookville, if anybody wants to check us out.
First of all, thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having us.
And providing this service and serving those who have this need. And thank you for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.